Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. I'm Nabil Biagio, sitting in for John Tanza on this live broadcast from Studio 14. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and Sudan this Thursday, May 11, 2023. The United Nations calls for an investigation into atrocities committed against civilians in Sudan's ongoing conflict.
I strongly condemn this wanton violence in which both sides have trampled international humanitarian law, notably the principles of distinction, proportionality, and precaution.
And tensions are growing between local communities over a disputed piece of land along the South Sudan-Uganda border.
This angered the youth who protested by burning down the houses around OTB and Abaya villages.
We will have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. We begin with Sudan, where Reuters and local sources in Saudi Arabia report that Sudan's warring military factions have been making progress in negotiations and are close to signing a humanitarian truce. Khaled Omar Yusuf, former Sudan's Minister of Cabinet Affairs in the last civilian-led administration, told VOA's affiliate, Arabic language TV Al Hurra, that the parties are close to agreeing to a ceasefire that will allow the delivery of humanitarian assistance and protection of civilians. He spoke from Khartoum, where the last truce has been overcome by fierce renewed fighting, while talks in the Saudi town of Jeddah are in their sixth day. Sudan's conflict between the army and paramilitary rapid support forces is in its fourth week. Residents in the capital Khartoum report fierce fighting even as the parties continue to negotiate a humanitarian truce. And still on Sudan, UN experts are calling for impartial and independent investigations into atrocities committed against civilians in Sudan by the two rival armed forces. The plea was made at a special session of the UN Human Rights Council to address the impact of the ongoing conflict in Sudan. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
Since fighting erupted April 15th between Sudan's army and the paramilitary rapid support forces, hundreds of people have been killed and thousands injured. An estimated 700,000 people have been displaced inside Sudan, and more than 150,000 refugees have fled for safety to neighboring countries. UN High Commissioner for Human Rights Volker Turk condemned the military coup, which he said was jointly carried out by the commanders of the two competing forces, General Al-Burhan and General Dagalo. He said the fighting triggered by the two men has plunged the country into catastrophe and once again has crushed the hope for transition to full civilian rule and democracy.
I strongly condemn this wanton violence in which both sides have trampled international humanitarian law, notably the principles of distinction, proportionality, and precaution. Today, immense damage has been done, destroying the hopes and rights of millions of people.
Turk said it was essential that both parties urgently commit to an inclusive political process and to a negotiated peace. He called on the generals to establish a humanitarian truce to allow life-saving aid to reach the many victims deprived of food, water, medical care, and other vital relief. The chair of the Coordination Committee of Special Procedures, Taleng Mofokeng, called on the warring parties to immediately end the fighting and to stop targeting the civilian population and infrastructure. She said urgent measures were needed to tackle the worsening humanitarian crisis. She said it was important to investigate and document violations and to hold perpetrators accountable for their crimes.
We urge the immediate initiation of independent and impartial investigations into the loss of civilian lives, injuries sustained by individuals, and cases of ill treatment and other gross human rights violations inflicted upon humanitarian personnel, healthcare workers, human rights defenders, journalists, as well as attacks on civilian infrastructure.
Sudan's ambassador to the United Nations in Geneva, Hassan Hamid Hassan, questioned why the Council was in such a rush to hold this ad hoc session, especially as it had received no support from any African or Arab country. He added the protection and promotion of human rights has always been and always would remain a priority for his government. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
And we move to South Sudan, where the African Union and Intergovernmental Authority on Development today launched a joint post-conflict needs assessment for South Sudan, intended to support the government of the national unity. Vice President James Wani Ige says the launch of this assessment is important to ensure peace and stability in South Sudan. For VOA News, Juliana Chiapai reports from Juba.
The AU and IGAD's post-conflict assessment will guide the government and aid agencies in planning for recovery, reconstruction and development. Vice President James Wani Iga, who chairs the government economic cluster, says the assessment will enable the government to prioritize the country's need to ensure proper recovery.
To develop a sustainable and cohesive post-conflict peace-building strategy, we are here to strategize. A strategy within my country. In the journey into post-conflict recovery, which must become increasingly rigorous and theoretically grounded, should detach itself from the myriad political agendas which have sought to impose themselves upon war-torn countries.
Ismail Wise, IGAD's special envoy to South Sudan, says the post-conflict need assessment will map the key needs of the country to inform a coherent recovery strategy as the country transitions towards peace.
The launch occasion today is a precursor for an assessment that will comprehensively cover all thematic and sectoral areas together with institutional needs, and will entail several weeks of work undertaken by technical, national and international experts.
Samuel Doe, the United Nations Development Programme resident representative in South Sudan, says the assessment will help generate consensus on the recovery priorities to avoid overlapping functions.
The post-conflict needs assessment is a critical exercise that provides a platform for national and international actors to agree on joint priorities and elaborate a development perspective for peace and stability in South Sudan. As South Sudan strives to implement the ARCAS, this exercise is both technical and political.
The post-conflict needs assessment is expected to include interviews, desk reviews, site visits, meetings with stakeholders, representatives from political parties in the unity government, citizens, AU, and UN officials who are on hand for today's launch in Juba. For VOA News, I am Juliana Chiapai in Juba.
Some members of parliament representing Kejukeji County in the Central Equatorial State Legislative Assembly say at least one person was killed and four others wounded on Wednesday in a land dispute between young people at the shared border of Uganda and South Sudan. The lawmakers say tensions are growing in the area. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Juba.
The lawmakers told reporters in Juba today a group of youths from Kejukeji County protested yesterday at the border, accusing their Ugandan neighbors of occupying their land. Central Equatorial State lawmaker Mila Amos Peter says young people from Uganda's Yumbe and Maracha districts entered Bamure in Kejukeji County earlier this week and began demarcating land, a move that outraged area youths.
The Ugandans hosted their flag in Koiba village of Bamure Boma and in the Espele historical area of Old OTV Training Center, where they settled their people and engaged in series of activities including logging and selling of land. This angered the youth, who protested by burning down the houses around OTB and Abaya villages.
Angry young people in Uganda retaliated by burning down houses of South Sudanese from Kejukeji in Gwere, area of Uganda's Moyo district, said Amos. He also said they looted more than 100 head of cattle.
Denounce and condemn in the strongest terms possible the continuous disrespect of South Sudan territorial integrity through repeated incursions across its borders. Call for restraint and de-escalation from both sides of the border to allow constructive dialogue between the Central Equatorial State Authorities and their Uganda counterparts to restore harmony among the neighboring sisterly districts and counties in South Sudan.
Kajokeji lawmaker Wane Jackson Mule says the Uganda's activity was a provocation, something South Sudan's national government should immediately address to avoid further escalation of tensions at the border.
This is a different situation where you find people are loaded over 6 trucks mobilized from Yumbe, Maracha, Terego, and then brought last week just to be dumped in the area and then begin demarcation of the areas, allotting plots, wiring people all over Uganda to come and buy plots, claiming this is Uganda, and to make it worse, they even put up a flag of Uganda in Bamure. 2 flags were already put inside South Sudan.
Anthony Gonyi, a paramount chief in Kajokeji County, says the people who were protesting the Uganda border encroachment were shot at by Ugandans dressed in military uniform.
Yesterday, that report is true, that one lady has been killed and others are injured. So 2 were injured and 1 after now, even we don't know where he is. The youths have withdrawn. They are here at the Adire Primary School. They are here waiting. They have not gone somewhere. They are waiting whether this Aringa will come or the UPDF will come, because the scenario happens, the fight is between the civilians, but the government soldiers of Uganda came in. That's why they are the ones who shot that lady.
Gonyi says Ugandan soldiers arrived on the scene and shot a woman. South Sudan in Focus could not independently verify this claim. Foyaya Martin Funi, the resident district commissioner for Yumbe District, declined to comment, saying he does not speak to the media by phone. There has been a surge in border disputes over land between South Sudan and its neighbors in Kenya and Uganda. In February, angry youths in eastern Equatorial State's Kapoeta East County clashed with Kenya's military over the Elemi Triangle, a disputed land along the South Sudan-Kenya border. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we have more reports of attacks along the South Sudan-Uganda border. Stay tuned.
If you are in Sudan witnessing events taking place there, or if you have family you are talking to there, you can call us on WhatsApp and let us know how things are going there. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076. The number again, the international code +1, then 202-258-3076.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202-630-8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202-630-8011.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Hundreds of residents in a village in Uganda are homeless after gunmen set fire to more than 100 grass-thatched roofs. Ugandan officials allege the attackers were from South Sudan. The border village is in an area both South Sudan and Uganda claim. Catherine Nambi reports from Kampala.
A gunman raided the village in Uganda's Moyo district. The attackers said the Ugandan residents were farming on South Sudan land. Livestock, food, mobile phones and money were looted from residents who fled for their safety. Moyo District Chairman Williams Anyama says during the attack, houses were torched, so the people now are sleeping in the cold. He notes that Ugandans retaliated.
They burnt over more than 50 houses. And in retaliation, the Ugandans also burnt 20 houses belonging to South Sudanese residents. So the situation is very bad. There are over, as I speak, there are over 400 people who are displaced. They have nothing to eat. Because they were running away from hostilities, so they did not carry most of their basic needs, including food.
The residents have taken shelter at the Uganda People's Defense Forces, or UPDF, detachment. Laila Angushia is one of the residents who fled with her family. She says they are confused about which country controls the land.
I'm here, a farmer. We are here with our children. We sit in that land and we are planting our crops. We get food. We get money for sponsoring our children for education. Our appeal to the government is to help us and to tell us the truth.
Resident Swali Aikomundu wants the two governments to demarcate the border to provide a permanent solution to recurring disputes.
If the place is in Sudan, let the government say that the place is in Sudan. If it's a Uganda place, let the government also tell us that it's a Uganda. So if the place is in Sudan.
Gowa Gofin is the Moyo District Resident District Commissioner. He says Ugandan officials are trying to speak with the South Sudan counterparts to ensure the perpetrators of the attack are brought to book, as they also ponder on border demarcation, which is long overdue.
This incident is not orchestrated by the South Sudan Army. It is by youth. We are in good relationships and collaboration with our South Sudan leadership to ensure that we recover everything. And we have agreed to have a bilateral meeting between Uganda and leadership this side along the border with the South Sudan in Kajukeji. I want to ask for calm.
He says the security forces from the two countries have deployed in the disputed area to prevent further clashes. South Sudan's government spokesperson, Michael McQuay, told VOA he wasn't aware of the attack or allegations South Sudanese were responsible. Uganda's President Yoweri Museveni and South Sudan's President Salva Kiir have discussed the issue in the past and agreed the border communities can till the farmland without either nation claiming ownership until a demarcation is done. However, disputes over the land have continued among communities, and there are no signs that the demarcation is to be done soon. This is Catherine Nambi for VOA News in Kampala.
The chairman of the Kajukeji community in South Sudan is calling on authorities in South Sudan and Uganda to de-escalate ongoing clashes between Ugandan and South Sudanese communities in Kajukeji and Moyo districts in South Sudan. Agri Tisa Sabuni tells my colleague John Tanza, some members of the Ugandan People's Defense Forces attacked armed young men from Kajukeji on Thursday, killing one South Sudanese lady in the process.
Over the last 2 weeks, there have been some incursions into the border areas of Kajukeji from neighboring districts of Uganda and Yumbe to the south. Ugandan communities to the south of Kajukeji have always had a mixed relationships with the Kuku people. They more or less are culturally the same. They understand each other, but they also fight over border issues, over land.
Which areas are being disputed? Could you name some of the disputed areas?
Running from the east, we have a place called Bari, which Kajukeji always wrangles over with the Moyo, all the Kuku and Moyo, or Madi of Moyo. There's a place called Afoji. Again, the Kuku and the Madi wrangle over it. To the west of a hill called Jale, there's a place called Abaya. The Madi and the Kuku also wrangle over it. Then you go to Bamurie, and it goes all the way to Keriwa. That is the area of Wolo Payam of Kajukeji, bordering Yumbe. This time round, the Nubara set called Aringa moved into Bamurie, and the surrounding villages. They moved to something ranging from 5 to 10 kilometers into South Sudan, and they began settling and began cultivation, erecting shelters for their accommodation.
Authorities in Uganda are accusing armed men from South Sudan who attacked villages along the border with South Sudan.
What they're calling armed men are Kuku youth. who went to reclaim their land and to try to evict the occupying Aringa people. In retaliation for something like 50 houses of the Kuku burned down by the youth or the occupying Aringa people, over the last 2 days, the Kajukeji youth went to their occupied territory and began burning down shelters erected by the Aringa people. And all this happens in full watch of the South Sudanese army called the SSPDF and the Ugandan army called the UPDF. They are around along the area. They know the activities of the Lugbara people. They know the activities of the Kajukeji people. And the two armies sat watching, fully aware. But unfortunately, yesterday, the UPDF took action and ambushed this marauding Kajukeji youth. Among them was a woman called Mary. She received a gunshot from the UPDF. She collapsed. The UPDF took her to their base inside Moya, and subsequently she died. As we speak, the remains of Mary are still in the hands of the UPDF.
And as a leader of the community, what efforts have you made to engage the Ugandan authorities on this matter? More specifically, you're in Juba, the Ugandan embassy is in Juba. Is there any complaint lodged to the embassy on this matter?
I have always been involved in the cross-border meetings that Central Equatorial State has with these bordering districts of Moyo, Yumbe, and Koboko to the west of Yumbe. The latest one we had together to address these very border issues and tensions was just in October last year, where we advised ourselves. The NC5 of Moyo was there, the NC5 of Yumbe was there with their corresponding RDCs, resident district commissioners. They were all there, and we advised ourselves to continue with our cultural practices and so on and so on, and avoid situations bordering tensions and conflict. So it's a complete surprise that these people, I don't know whether they came with the knowledge of their leadership or not, they began moving in, broadening in track.
What could be the implication of this border dispute, given the fact that you have thousands of South Sudanese refugees who have resettled in Uganda?
The implications are not good. First of all, the social fabric between these communities, Mabi, Aringa, Kuku, is definitely broken down. The bloodshed, a woman is already dead, that by itself is not good. This could as well drag in the national authorities of Uganda and South Sudan, which is never a good thing to see happen.
That's Agritisa Sabuni, the chairman of the Kajukeji community in South Sudan. He spoke with my colleague John Tanza from Juba. A Central Equatoria State Chamber of Commerce official and others say they are concerned about the rapid depreciation of the South Sudanese pound against the dollar. They say the pound's devaluation has led to sky-high food prices. Manyang David Mayar has more for VOA from Juba.
Today, $1 exchanges for 940 South Sudanese pounds on the black market. Robert Pitia, Central Equatoria State Chairman of the Chamber of Commerce, says he worries about the big drop in value of local currency against the dollar and is urging the government to do something about it.
This is one of the factors also affecting the market, because once the prices of the hard currency goes up, also everything will go up. And it's very difficult to bring it back. So we are appealing and requesting our government to look into this issue of the dollar to make sure they stabilize the currency.
PTR says fluctuating exchange rates create an atmosphere where traders take advantage of the situation at the expense of South Sudanese who are already struggling under difficult circumstances. Last month, the Bank of South Sudan auctioned $5 million to forex bureaus and commercial banks in the country in an effort to tame the depreciation of the South Sudanese pounds and control inflation. Edmond Yakani, executive director for Community Empowerment and Progress Organization, accuses what he calls certain economic mafias of standing in the way of real economic fixes. He is urging President Salva Kiir to intervene.
auctioning of the dollars does not benefit the common citizen, but benefit a class of individuals and institutions who are acting as an economic mafias, where they're intending to turn dollar into a commodity. Your Excellency President and the politicians of the country, dollar today in Juba is a commodity. It's no longer a currency. People want to buy and sell dollar as a commodity because they are earning profit out of it. So I'll take this opportunity to urge the political leaders of the country, and in particular our national parliament, to raise a motion on this particular practice.
When contacted by VOA about the situation, South Sudan's Deputy Finance Minister Agog Makur quickly blamed the Sudan crisis, saying the deadly fighting has made things worse.
I hope you know now the situation. You know the situation we are in economically in South Sudan. We are affected by a crisis even in our neighbor, Sudan. Our oil going through Sudan to port. And if there is any crisis there, it can affect us. I hope you know this.
South Sudan relies solely on Sudan to export its crude and import raw materials for oil production, which accounts for more than 90% of its revenue. Makur says the only solution to the hard currency crisis is to increase oil production and establish sufficient hard currency reserves in the bank.
The increasing of production is one of the priorities of the government now. To increase the production of oil is very important. And also we need to find way for reserve, because dollar to be reducing, we need reserving. Without reserve also we can face it.
After the violence broke out a month ago in Sudan, South Sudan Petroleum Minister Port Kang Chol said pipelines, pumping stations, and the export marine terminal in Sudan are still operating. He said South Sudan produces up to 169,000 barrels of crude oil per day. Chol said his office and investors formed an emergency response team to open talks with authorities in Djibouti and Kenya to seek alternative routes for importing raw materials needed for South Sudan's oil production. For VOA News, I'm Manyang David Mayor in Juba.
All right. Sudanese child.
And that's all we prepared for you this Thursday. We now leave you with the song Jerry Jerry by Dynamic.
Ruka Music. Auma. Jerry Jerry Fidunia Day. Jerry Jerry.
Sana nami lotuko,
lotuko, lotuko, yeah.
Do you fabaja fibe,
fibe, fibe.
Asana nami loko ya,
loko ya, loko ya, ya.
Tere tere bidunia de,
tere tere.
Sibu nasi sambala,
tere tere.
Suata ta dunia de, mama,
suata.
Nasi mutu sambala.
We've been listening to Dynamic and the song Jere Jere. I am your host, Nabil Biagio, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. Don't forget to visit voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you missed this program, go to www.voaafrica.com/South Sudan. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Holly Capehart, We thank you for taking the time to be with us. Remember to join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Jere jere bidu.